are now listening to the Melanated Movement podcast with Tess and Anne. We invite you to take a deep breath, open your mind, and prepare to go on this wild ride. Episode loading in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What up?
Hello, my love.
Hi.
How are you, girl?
Hey, girl. I'm good. How you doing, girl?
I'm tired, girl.
Oh, my God. We're recording at nighttime. That's how dedicated we are.
It's funny we say that. Like, we didn't normally. Like, we got so used to, like, recording during the day. They were like, nighttime. But the original thing was us recording, like, 8, 9. Like,
that's so true.
Oh, my God. Our research, prep, outline, record, listen to it again, and then go back.
Now it's like, nighttime. I'm dying.
Oh, woe is me. Hey, fam. Welcome to another episode of the Melanated Movement podcast with Tess and Anne. This is your girl, Anne. Hey.
Hey, Tess.
Do you guys hate that?
Yeah, no, honestly, be honest. We'll still do it, but do you hate it?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I asked my partner the other day if she thought our theme song was corny, because she was helping me, like, listen to a few things. You know how I get hype? I'm like, 5, 4, mm-hmm. 3. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when you go back and you listen to it so many times, I'm like, wait, is it corny? And she's like, I'm like, what does that mean? Like,
it's not corny.
But then she's like, oh, it's your signature. I'm like, that's right. We're just going to enjoy the ride, like it says, right?
When it says, you know, it's your signature, like, are you trying into your, like, your signature is just to be corny? I mean, I feel like makes sense, but also, no, how dare you?
So I'm corny, what you're saying? Okay.
Right? I feel like that's what's being said right now. And I don't know.
If I'm corny, that's fine. Right. If I'm corny, babe, make sure it's Mexican corn because it's delicious.
Delicioso.
Man, Mel, like, if you're listening, we miss you, girl, because she'd be like,
I'd be like, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
This is what I'd be saying. You and your corny jokes, both of y'all.
Yeah, corny as fuck, and that's okay. Yeah. I feel like everybody has their tribe. And you're my tribe. Perfect. And if we're corny, we're corny.
We're corny. I mean, we're just, you know, this is the embrace all that I am era. My words are not making any sense. Exactly. Just be real, be true, be yourself. Mm-hmm. All of that.
Mm-hmm. All that. Mm-hmm.
So have you been? How has Women's History Month, Women's Celebration Month treated you?
It was cool. I feel like I really enjoy the fact that everyone's been taking time to, like, post different women, like, mm-hmm. Different pieces of, like, women's history, honoring different women, and people have had, like, conversations, have had events. I just feel like it's been very, like, it feels like a warm hug.
I like the way you said that. It feels like a warm hug. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. That's awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. How has it been for you? Now that we're at the close of it.
I feel like this is an excellent question. I unfortunately feel as though I haven't been intentionally participating and partaking. Yeah. Like, it's almost like one of those things, like, oh, it's there, right? I feel like for Black History Month, for example, I was very much like, yeah, I'm blackity black, 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 right?
Black on black.
And celebrating that. And I feel, I mean, maybe because I think of my Blackness a whole lot more than I think of my womanhood. Yeah, maybe that has something to do with it. However, though, like, I feel like I've also been taking part in events and activities that celebrate women. But, like, for example, like March Madness. I've been watching, like, some of the basketball games, some of them against my will. But, you know, we're not going to talk about that.
To be honest, I've been waiting on you to give me the update. I don't have enough time in the world to sit down and watch something, honestly.
Yeah, well, you know what is it? Like, date someone who likes sports, they said. Like, it will be fun, they said.
But you know? Like sports, Tess.
I mean, I...
You are a sports head. You know when the season starts, ends. You know when they're training. You know when it's the D-League versus... Girl, you know the stats.
Speaking of which, like, I don't know if you knew... that the NFL has, I mean, I don't think it's called a rivalry, but while we're off, you know, in the off season, there is another league that is owned by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, actually. It used to be the XFL and the AFL. Now they have merged to become the UFL. And so they have spring football.
Yeah. I knew about the summer.
Your eyes are just glazing over right now.
My eyes have been glazed. It's like 2 p.m.
So the first game is actually going to take place this Sunday. The first game is this Sunday. And it's a spring league. Sunday. They have like this team that is based in DC is called the DC Defenders. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually looking forward to that. Also, so March Madness, been watching the NCAA women's season. Now they're like down to the Sweet 16. And that's where I'm like, okay, now we can talk. Because it's like there are fewer teams that I have to keep up with because it was just too 16? Much.
16? But now you're Sweet 16?
Yeah, there were so many. I don't even know how many teams there are, but there is a lot. I mean, if you think about the amount of colleges and universities there are, and then think about like the majority of them have like a legitimate, like a Division One, I think is what they call a basketball team. Yeah. So like, if you think about that and it's just kind of like dwindling, like the top ones down to 16. And then I think it's called Sweet 16 and like 8 and then 4 and then the finals or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. But now I'm going to start to like plug in. And then the last thing, I'm done talking about sports but we're talking about women's, but like celebrating women, right? I went to my first women's soccer game last weekend. Washington Spirit, again a DC based team. Trinity Rodman, if anybody doesn't know, people don't know who Trinity Rodman is, get to know who she is. Yes. She is Dennis Rodman's daughter and a freaking beast on the field.
I can only imagine.
Isn't that crazy? She actually is part of the U.S. women's national team. Her along with this other woman, Kate Kruger. And they both play for the Washington Spirit. And I got like I got to see her play and it was amazing. And she's very good. Like very impressed.
If your dad is a professional, like sports player or a professional anything, if you end up in the same sport or in the same profession as your parent,
you have a lot to live up to. You have large shoes to fill. Yeah.
And there's big things to uphold to, and there's probably huge shoes to fill considering the size of some of these basketball players.
Right? Can you imagine?
Oh my God. Did you ever watch the stories how like Dennis Rodman talked about how he broke his third leg more than once? There's a story.
His penis?
No, don't say the word.
I didn't say the D word. I just said penis.
You can't say that.
Why not?
No, YouTube girl. YouTube's like, no words. You got to change your words for different things now.
Oh, okay. Well,
the censorship is different.
Okay, you, okay. It's Popovich.
I don't want to go too far in. But anyway, if you go it's funny because it's on YouTube. There's an animated version of him telling his story. I forget what show it is. However, one of the stories he tells of one of the times he has broken his third leg more than once, which is wild to me because the idea one time is already too much for me. You get what I'm saying? So one of the stories he was telling was he was laying on his back. He was in the bed, right? And his partner that he was with, a woman, was on the other, like she was standing. Imagine you're laying on your bed and the door to your bedroom is across the room, but directly in front of your bed, but like enough room to run and jump. Key.
Right.
That's the key.
Right, right.
So old girl was like, oh, let's try something new. Let's try something fun. Cause like, you know, Rodman is into that fun stuff. So old girl runs from the door of the bedroom to the bed, leaps into the air, opens
like
up
to try to land on it. Are you being serious?
I'm dead ass. You can look it up right now. I don't know if it's still on YouTube. Oh my gosh.
Are you?
But it's a story that Robin has told. He literally said, "Oh girl jumped on his third leg, and when she landed, she landed wrong and his third leg broke. Like to the side. And he had to go to the hospital to fix it."
My whole thing is, I don't think there are any types of and we've had an episode on kink. On mm-hmm. different types of kink before.
But not Rodman kink.
Does that even qualify though? Because like, I'm trying to imagine like in what world do you think, you know what would be a great idea? Mm-hmm. If you just did a somersault and tried to land on my part, on my third leg. Like I feel that.
There's a song about it. Not about Rodman.
It's but wild. Like,
so imagine he is an athlete. He is a professional athlete, right?
Uh-huh.
He's probably gone through many different things, probably messed around with many different people. Uh-huh. So he's probably trying to add excitement into his life. He's like, whatever you want to do, babes, I'm down, right? So you never heard that song, jump on it. That's right, sit on them. No? Girl, that's right.
I don't know if I should say fortunately or unfortunately if not, but no, I'm not.
jump on it. It's I think it's Trina and Trick Daddy that sings that one.
Okay.
That's right. Jump on it. And then she goes, that's right, suck on the C word. C-L-T. Suck on it.
But
that's
do you know right, that they're strange on though? Jump on it. On the same topic of like Dennis Rodman and his daughter. I mean, I don't know if things have gotten better since.
What a way to segue from a broken third leg to like, now let's put him and his daughter in the same sentence. I mean, it's my fault for doing that story right after you were talking about her. So I do apologize. But the segue was crazy. Speaking of Rodman. Tell you about his relationship
speaking
with
of
his
third
daughter.
Leg, you see, okay, here's my no, but like, oh my God. It came from a very innocent place, and I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you why.
Did it?
Because if you, yeah, no, like, I mean, really I do. Think so. Yeah, I think
I hope
you
so.
Because I can be very, you know, oblivious to connection sometimes. My apologies. But the whole thing is like, how do babies come to be? Like, how. How does it happen, right? Yeah. It's through reproduction. And how do you go about, you know, reproduction, copulating? How do you do that? By somersaulting onto somebody's third leg and succeeding instead of breaking it, you know? And so
imagine.
She's a direct outcome.
Successes.
His escapades. Yeah. And that's probably why they don't talk anymore. I don't know. they're strange. My understanding is that they have been estranged. Like he has three daughters, if I'm not mistaken, and mm-hmm. they for the most part they're like, nah, we're good.
Nah, we good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't. I mean, you can. I don't know. I don't want to.
Who knows? Wishing them the best. Hey. So, what do you want to talk about today?
So I appreciate you giving me a little snippet of your life briefly of your escapades, your March Madness escapades.
Yeah.
I can't wait until the summertime where I can have more screen time, less school, more work, but still more like brain, if that makes sense. More.
I love how you call it screen time. I really do love how you call it. Yeah, that more. Yeah. Let's have more screen time.
Well,
yeah, I feel really bad because you just. Sound to me like you don't have instead of parents it's just school, like
yeah. So like for example when it comes I am going to talk about screen time really really quick. So like I work on my computer, I read on my computer, I do my assignments on my computer, whatever. And to break that apart, like I've been printing a lot of things that I'm reading for like my courses, which is a great idea outside the fact like sometimes they give you like 100 pages and the idea of printing 100 pages just doesn't sit right with me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it hurts my soul just hearing it.
It does. However, I'm not going to lie, I have been printing because flipping the page is, I feel like I get more, like when I'm doing like research and I'm writing and it's on my computer and I'm like going back and forth and comparing, I still do that. But like mm-hmm. it printed, I'm like, okay, Okay, I can flip through. I'm taking in the information. But girl, I read so much. Oh, Jesus Christ. But yeah, the screen time, like the computer itself has been giving me like crazy migraines. So I've been closing my computer and then just reading the paper. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
has that helped?
Oh, yeah, it has.
Okay, good. Good.
It has. I feel like by having the physical paper, it gives me a sense to kind of get away from my computer, which I love. So like mm-hmm. on my lunch break, instead of bringing my laptop out with me on my lunch break when I'm at work, I just take out my paperwork and I read and I highlight and I make my notes. And then when I go to class, I do take notes that when my professor is speaking on my computer, I like to keep my notes together when it's time for me to study. Mm-hmm. However, I have my paper next to me that I've been writing on. And I feel like it. Like me writing physical notes really helps me like take it in versus like typing on the computer. You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, during the summer, you got to do what works for you.
Period. During the summer, this is so funny. During the summer, I want to watch more movies. Like I want to watch more movies. I want to watch more TV. I don't want to be lazy though. I do want to go out and have like a good summer. Like I want to be naked on a beach somewhere. However, I do want to watch like some movies.
Well, just let me know. I mean, I don't have any movie recommendations right now, but if you need any book. So I've been, can I say smut on?
Who knows? Try it.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Well, it's already out. So
smut?
One of the most satisfying findings of late for me has been realizing like there's a host of communities that are just very much into reading. You know, yeah. and I don't even want to put reading quotations, but I'm doing the quotation like sign because a lot of times when you're thinking about reading and apparently putting things in quotations allows for balloons to start flow the screen. Anyway, I wonder what else can be done. Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I
get distracted.
The ADD is crazy.
My meds wore off.
Mine is strong.
They're pushing through.
I doubled my shit. Hell yeah.
I'm gonna need an adjustment, or maybe I should wait for like the sun to be fully out to see like is it me Jesus or like is it
like
time
the
for
seasonal? Yeah,
because let me tell you, the seasonal stuff was like real and it was scary and a lot. I digress, and we've been doing that. What was I talking about? Literature, reading.
Yes.
You're talking about found. Reading. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I've like, you know, scrolling social media, whatever, realized, and you know how the algorithm and also your phone is always listening to you. Mm-hmm. And so for a very long time, I have been a long time subscriber to spicy books.
Ooh, spicy.
Honestly, Caliente truly confession. Books. And then like, I feel the queerer, the better. But
it's funny because you're more into queer books, and I feel like I don't read too many queer books. I read just regular. I think it's just an exposure thing too. Like like something catches my eye, I read the back, I like it, I'm in it. But like, it takes like word of mouth for me to go look for a book. You know what I'm saying? I don't purposely go into the queer section looking for books. I literally, if I want a book, sometimes I just browse, and then whatever catches my eye, like I'll grab and I read.
Really?
Yeah.
You are brave and I commend you.
Brave?
Yeah, because you just go and you just pick a book at random. I can't do that. I need to go down a rabbit hole and read like 500, that's an exaggeration. Yeah. I need to read at least a solid 10 reviews for a
10?
Book. And yeah, at you least need... in order to like get the, I look at the highest ratings first. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, well, what made somebody give it low ratings? And then I analyze it. And then I'm like, okay, you know what? Is it worth my time? No. Do I want to find out and be disappointed? Yes. Let me find out. But in terms of like my love for queer books, I blame this author, and I blame it in the best ways because like she really opened up my eyes, but also Casey McQuiston, okay. Like the spicy queer books, Casey for sure. Red, White, and Royal Blue, and it's like and it's adapted into a movie, and it's on Prime.
Okay, and I'll watch the movie. I couldn't.
It's
get
really
the
good.
Oh my god! I gave the book back to Tess, and Tess was like, "What do you mean you didn't get into it?
You didn't get to read it?" I was like, "It's. I mean, I feel that it has its audience and." They got me, you know, like just knew what to write. And I think like there's something about writing that I feel like if it's like the more like the more it's set up in prose, like the more I like it. And mm-hmm. it's like the way that they write, the way Casey writes is absolutely incredible. And I just like got me down this rabbit hole. I'm like, what else can I do to satisfy this void that I now feel and that I must fill as soon as possible? And then that, like, hence my journey towards that. But authors like Adam Silvera also like writes very like young adult, but very like poignant, hard, like reality type books, but are just like really good, is also a really great author. But it, what made me feel really good, and in order to wrap this up, what makes me feel, it was very satisfying to discover, and maybe my phone was listening to me, or my phone was just like the algorithm.
Your
was
phone
algorithming.
Is always listening. That
always
phone
listening.
Is always listening.
Absolutely.
Don't worry.
Absolutely wild. So it's like, in some ways I'm like, thank you, because now I've discovered that a lot of people are like, when people say, oh, do you like to read? They're like, oh yeah, I love to read. And thinking like self-help books and, you know, very serious, like
you
nonfiction.
Are a badass,
like,
is a great
no.
self-help book.
I love I do badass. Like you, I like You Are a Badass. I also like the secret, the subtle art of not giving an F.
Yes,
by
I read those back
Mark Swanson. It's really good. Also, Untamed by Glennon Doyle, mm-hmm. phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Furiously Happy, I forgot who wrote it, but anyway, and it like those are sparks, like, you know, like they're like kind of peppered in mm-hmm. to like my very long relationship with spicy romance. Like, I love a good like happy ending story, yeah, but you know, the spice in between like is also like great. Mm-hmm. And finding out that a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, like that fictional stuff, but also with spicy pepper
with
and,
spicy.
Like, and people are like, give it to me. Like, there's this huge audience for like fairy smut, and this huge audience for like magic smut mm-hmm. and dragon smut. And I feel like we're just like the adults who never grew up and like who let us be adults, because these are the kinds of things that we're
yeah,
into, and
the
we
dragon,
love reading and
yeah,
love escaping
the dragons
into.
Grew up too. I feel like there is a big audience.
Yeah. Did you say the dragons grew up too?
For sure.
I love you so much.
This, I mean, the same dragons you're reading about when you're younger, when you get older, you don't have to change your preference in what you like to read. It's just good for you to expand it. I feel like as we get older, we're like, oh, we need to read the self-help books. We need to do all these things to organize mm-hmm. our lives and our minds and whatever. I mean, you should, not should, you can, because I right. feel like it's always good information that you can take or leave, or put certain things in your toolbox and leave the rest, whatever it is. However, if you like to read about dragons, girl, read it. You know? Do not let society change the things you like because of the expectations that we put on ourselves once we get to a certain age.
That is the validation that I needed to hear without knowing that I needed to hear. So thank you for giving me permission. Thanks. I shall continue on my quest.
Ooh, I wanted to say, one way I do look for books, because I do like to find like Black authors. Mm-hmm. I do like to find like female authors or whatever. So I'll follow a few like book pages on mm-hmm. Instagram or something like that, or a book talk or whatever. And I'll see what they recommend and I'll screenshot it. And if it's available in the library near me, like that's what I'm saying. Like, word of mouth is really a big thing for me, but mm-hmm. I don't go to the point of looking for reviews outside of the first, like, you're like, hey, read this, it was amazing, period. I'm gonna go
that's
pick
all
it
you
up.
Need to, like, that's all say I need. Less
yeah it's a,
I am it, impressed
thanks but I'll go and I'll find the book, and I mean, and I always read the back, I read the first few pages, see if I'm getting in the mood for it, pick it up. I know the thing is really crazy, you like that book gonna be done in like 2 days, and then go back and get the next one on the list. That's been my thing. Oh, I loved it. When I used to work next to the library, that library card active all
I
the time.
Love that.
It was
cool. I feel like I need to go to libraries more. See, the thing about it is also that we have gone into such a big, like, consumerist type of society,
yes,
that even
that
those
today.
Things have become like obsolete. I feel that even like looking at videos of like book talk or like reels or like people who absolutely love to read, they show mm-hmm. these, oftentimes they'll show like these like crazy elaborate libraries or a mountain of books. And there are even videos of like, there's a difference between loving to read and loving like the books. And mm-hmm. it's just people buying a bunch of books. And I mean, nothing wrong against it. I just think about what would that feel like, again, like building that sense of community? Is like, oh, I have this book and I loved it and I want to share it with you, and then sharing. And I feel like that's the whole concept of a library. Mm-hmm. And we're not helping with those institutions remaining afloat.
Right.
And I'm part of the problem too, you know? And so like you mentioned the library, I'm like, oh, you know what? This is a great idea. I should rely on those more instead of just every time I want to read something, either I get in like Kindle Unlimited or something, or I go and buy it, you know? So thank you for bringing that up.
I like libraries. I like going to them. I feel like it's something that I like to do, things that take me out of my norm, because I feel like it focuses my brain. So when I go to a library, I feel like now, like, it just gets me to zone in. Mm-hmm. Also, I am someone, I also do the audiobooks to the library as well. So like I'll go and I'll either go pick up the book and I'll listen to the audio. Like if I'm obsessed with a book, I have the physical copy of the book. I have the audiobook. The audiobook will like play in the car, like when I'm driving to work, from work, whatever, get home, open the book and keep reading. Or like if I'm like hanging out like at home or whatever, like I'll play the audiobook and I'll physically flip through it, especially if I've like read it before. I just want to hear it or touch the pages. I like to do that. So I use the library has so many apps now to where you can do the audiobook checkouts. So like I'll do the audiobooks, I get the physical books, and we just made that thing. Put that thing on rotation.
I love that. Another genre, and then I think we've been talking about books for a while, which just speaks to how corny and nerdy we are.
We tend to talk about a book or two.
I also really love, I love poetry, and I love like discovering new artists. And speaking of Black authors, this one, her name is Upile Chisala, and she wrote, oh my God, I forgot the name of the book, but I actually took a screenshot of this, and it's a very short one, but she said, "They said, stay, love will grow. Your heart said, go. You don't know the first thing about gardening."
I love that.
Right? Right? I feel like such simple prose, and yet it's like it felt like a bit of a gut punch, you know?
What's the name of the book?
Her name is Usile Chisala.
How do you spell that?
It's Upile, Upile, and last name is spelled Chisala. She only has like the one major publication. So if you just type her name, like you'll be able to find it. I did take like a picture of her book, but I can't seem to find it right now. Yeah. Really good. I mean, I have it. I own the book. I bought it. I went, oh my God. So when I was in Portland recently for work, and I heard about like one of the largest bookstores in the country. Haven't checked if it's in the world, but it takes up an entire block, and that thing has like four floors. And I was like, how am I going to fit all of these books? And I managed to buy like four or five of them. Mm-hmm. And as and one of the books that I purchased was actually from her.
Oh, nice.
And I got two more, and I got Pablo Neruda's Love Poems, and it's like hitting the spot. Anyway, okay, I'm done.
We'll put the pictures of the books, because we do have a little highlight on our Instagram that is called book recommendations. Mm-hmm. So the books that Tess is recommending, we're going to put them on our highlights. That way, if you guys are interested in joining, I guess, the reading circle with Tess,
you could
check it out and see what you think. And then also let us know what you think. See if your taste is a little bit similar to Tess.
Yeah, I mean, we should do a book club, guys. Like, let's just like all start reading. I promise there will be above the belt, like, you know, good books. Like, they'll be appropriate,
not like Black
to
Marxism
all audiences.
Or like, I just read
nothing nihilistic, unless you're into nihilism. Nothing about like nothing doomish. There's
no capitalism,
book
that, no globalization.
Well, I mean, maybe a little bit of capitalism. It doesn't
There's
hurt anybody.
In
if you're into like Japanese, like an like arcane type of history, esoteric stuff, like She Became the Sun is one of the books that I've also picked up.
I heard about that one.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You've heard of it?
I heard about that one.
It's really good.
Good.
See, I don't only read spicy books.
You stepped out. Stepped out of the fuego.
Once in a while. Once in a while, I'm going to be like, ooh, let's see what's out there.
let me read a little something else. Less smut. No. Tess, I feel like you have these major categories. You read like really deep, like educational books. Ask Tess about any theorist in sociology and she like, she brightens up. Girl, listen, I'm going to call you after this. I'm like, can you help me? Because I'm...
But also like situation. Also very much into like he pinned him against the wall and whispered in his ear or something.
Not the whisper.
I mean, you gotta whisper something to him sometime. I'd say.
What did he whisper, Tez?
Run from mine. That's a common one that Dave was like, you're mine. I'm like, well, you better say that you're mine too. The feminist in me is like, you better talk back.
Say what you should.
Say you know about his property. I am fight for your life. Damn.
Oh my gosh. I was gonna say, whisper to me, run from the other side of the room and jump on my third leg.
Or and then because, I feel like we're pretty much writing the book for Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he actually does have, I think he does have some books out, but I think they're more so about his career than his escapades. But there's plenty interviews about his escapades, though.
So I'm sure.
If you guys are
now, you're gonna have me go down a rabbit hole.
As you should. I feel like that rabbit hole is kind of fun because you like the smut, right? There's smut in there.
I don't think I want to picture him specifically though with that. Like there's a certain aesthetic like that you have to kind of adhere. Now I'm not talking about the height. Have you seen the movie Bridesmaids where she's like, I climbed that like a tree. I'm not into that type of like that category.
Fair.
there's a specific like aesthetic. Like they have to be kind of like ethereal, like very maybe like again, fairies, you know, magical beings. I don't know, like things like that. It's gonna be very specific.
Tessa, I don't like men's no more. I'm delivered.
I said I like fairies.
I said I like fairies. I'm delivered. For real. You know, I'm not gonna say this because we're related, but fun fact, I have a fairy tattooed on me.
Wait, is it the one that's in your?
I have a big tattoo.
Yeah, it's a beautiful one, by the way. And you got it done pretty early on.
I got it done over a decade ago. I need to actually redo it. And I would love to get my whole back done. But that's for a different
day. What was
the
inspiration behind that?
It's more so, it's me guiding my own way. It's freedom. Mm-hmm. It's my own interpretation of Saint Michael or Archangel Michael. Like, because the thing is, I got it right after I had my son, right after I found out I was deploying, like right after all these major things. And because I had, like, I was really independent for a little while by then, I was like, I'm definitely like with God leading, of course, I'm the one that's like making like these decisions and guiding which way I'm going. And it's like with this angel on my back, I feel free and I feel protected. And then I like the fact that the wingspan goes across like my shoulder blades. So it feels like almost like the cross. If you look at it, because like her legs are together and one is kind of up and then her arms are out and then she's looking out. So it's spiritual, but in my own version. Mm-hmm. When I first got it, I just thought about it as like freedom because I got it when I was 19. Then somebody stopped me and my mom when we were walking and they're like, you have the symbol of Archangel Michael on you. It's on your back. And random person. I never met this person. And
I'm getting
I was like,
chills right now.
Cool. And the thing is too, our family has like really amazing like connections. We're very spiritual. And Archangel Michael was very, very like prevalent, like within my grandmother on my dad's side, my mom, my older brother, like they're all into Archangel Michael specifically. And so when they said that, I like, it's like I went into like myself and I started like thinking about things. But also it happened like right before I deployed. So it also gave me another like sense of like, all right, like I'm protected and I'm good. So, I mean, all my tattoos have a meaning, but that one was like a really big one for me.
That's a fantastic story. Thank you for sharing.
Of course. Do you have any tattoos? You don't have any tattoos, right, Tess?
No, I do not.
You're more the holes, the piercings.
I said the holes.
The holes.
Yeah, I got into piercings quite a bit for a few years. Mm-hmm. And now I think all but three have closed again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, I wanted to, you know, I don't know if I mean, you know my story, but I don't know if we've shared, it's something that's been shared publicly. But when I went into the military, I ended up finding out while in basic training that I had a tumor in my chest. Mm-hmm. And so got it operated, everything's fine. But it was quite a journey, and it's something that it significantly impacted my life and also really impacted my faith. And I wanted to put something, I wanted to get the scar tattooed over. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I kept debating, like, what should I put? And I know it had to do something with my own spirituality, mm-hmm. and my faith. But then I forced to do, like, I don't know, like, the more I waited to make that decision, the longer I waited, the less interested I was in pursuing, yeah. that. And then I'm just like, at this point, what time is it? Like, I feel like, I mean, I've been vibing without them for as long as I have. Also very skittish. Don't really like pain. You know, like, I don't want to really volunteer for a painful experience. And I've heard some things.
Some of them feel really good. Like the one really? On my back. Like, with my eyebrows up, I'm really good. Some of them feel really good. Like, spicy good.
Like, third leg good?
Like, third leg good. Like, the one on my back, there's portions where they're on my back and, like, my whole body was tingling. It was so good.
Because there's something, even, like, as they do, like, reflexology, for example, yeah. like or even like acupuncture, like I feel mm-hmm. like some of the points that you hit and like that are very close to like your nerve endings, mm-hmm. like some like are directly connected because yeah. to some of those receptors replicate or sort of mirror an orgasmic experience. Yeah. Can I say orgasm for you?
I hope
too?
So.
Okay.
Right. I mean, yeah, Shan Boodrum is on YouTube and she says all kinds of things, but it's just like most recently, like YouTube has been putting out like certain things like to monetize, like you just can't say certain words and you can't, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of things, all kinds of rules.
Boo. No, I'm just kidding. It's, I agree. I agree and shall comply.
And shall comply. All right. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, everything in between, we're going to jump into our current event. So Tess and I were talking about a few things that are going on, some serious and not, and some not so serious. And we were talking about, like, when media is being controlled to where they show you what they want to show you. Mm-hmm. So like there'll be this big thing going on and next thing you know we're like following Kate Middleton around and oh my god, she's been found, da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And so
who planted that? Like, I think I was just minding my business, you know, living my life.
I was minding my business.
You know, trying to stave off the seasonal affective disorder. And all of a sudden, across social media platforms, people just started asking where the heck she was. I think for me, it started on X, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I feel like I cringe whenever I say X, on Twitter. And I would look on there and then people just started speculating. And then they started developing like these conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, of course, like the moment you click on one thing, then it becomes like this very like ubiquitous, like pervasive thing is all over.
It's all, mm-hmm.
And so I started like reading, like seeing more videos about it. And then people started making like some outlandish, outrageous comments and where did she go and all that stuff. Goodness. And then it's just next thing you know, like it took a life of its own. Mm-hmm. Right. Until to the point where, you know, homegirl had to make a statement the other day about the fact about why she had gone into the shadows for a while.
I didn't even know she was missing. Like,
right. When did you, okay, so, I, okay, where, did you know she was missing when she made the statement or did you, okay.
There was like all this hoopla last week sometime when they're like, mm-hmm. oh, they found Kate Middleton. She's out with Prince, whatever it is. I'm just like, but isn't she normally out with him? Or like, aren't, like, I understand everybody has like their duties as princess, duchess, mm-hmm. whatever it is. So I'm mm-hmm. like, if you don't see her with, you know, her husband, I would imagine she's out with some type of like royal people. I don't check for that. So for me, I was like, all right, cool. She was missing. Now she back. All right, then. And I just move on, but it was a frenzy. It was on everything, everywhere, every news station, on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. People were making all kinds of things. And then there was like rumors that were coming out saying that she had cancer. I'm not even sure.
I mean, she does. She does. So, okay. Just let me feel your anger, because that was part of this thing from the beginning. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
for real, because you know I'm not the one.
I got you. We just talk about, like, you know, Marxism and existentialism. And it's like, oh, my God, did you hear about Kate Middleton? Anyway.
Right.
So I guess at like some point around December didn't catch on for me, like on my end, until probably a month ago, maybe.
You said December?
Where people were like, I think it was like the last time she was seen, people were saying that it was December. Like
December
the last time she
2023?
Was seen publicly. December 2023. Okay, so let me tell you.
Sorry, my mouth was open.
So then about like a month ago, I caught on, but I had been taking up life like little by little. People were like, wait a minute. It's like, especially Americans, I think it's like one day we're just like eating their breakfast cereal or something, and then went into an introspection, like, where's Kate Middleton? You know, it's like one of those things, you know, when you're just like taking your morning dump or something and you're like, wait a minute, you know what I haven't heard about lately? The Princess of Wales, you know, like saying like something like that. That's, and so, right. So what had happened was, so people started talking about like how they didn't see her. So the entourage and like, I guess like the royal, like either royal family, like somebody started, like, instead of just like addressing anything, which, by the way, I feel that whether you're a public figure or not, you have right to your own privacy. You have the right to take the time that you need to take care of yourself, to take care of your family. You do not owe the public every single piece of yourself and every single piece of your life. That's not the case, you know? And I feel like, again, it's a very entitled thing to do. But I guess since people were talking about how they hadn't seen her, like two things came out. The first thing was like a video that people swore up and down where it was photoshopped, because I guess it was like a photo with the family during the holiday or something like that, where the three kids were around her and she was in the middle. But then like, I guess the fingers were crooked or like something would happen. It was like a bad Photoshop job.
Is that why there was an apology for the Photoshop?
Yeah. So, right. Yes. That's exactly why. It was like, it was fingers, clothes, hair. Like people were like, when I tell you people took the time to dissect that thing, I couldn't see any different. Again, I was kind of like, ooh, let me dip my toes in. And like, I went out of it.
Got the pool.
Right. And then the second thing that happened was like another one where they were like, oh, Kate Middleton out and about going to like the market or something. And then it was like a lady. Anyway, it didn't like, okay, apparently she was taller, didn't really look like her. People were like, don't play
taller.
With us, you know, don't play with us, Great Britain. Like, what do you mean? You know, right. They're like, this ain't like, we're not the ones, right? Mm-hmm. And so apparently, I mean, we kind of know this, but the Prince of Wales is, you know, he's a little player apparently, and then like had a whole affair. So people were thinking like, is
like
it
daddy?
Why like she's in the back, or like she's like in the back, or like she hasn't come out, and it's because like there's all this stuff going on. And anyway, like people went ham. When I'm telling you people went ham. And then even like some celebrities were like making jokes about it, like Photoshop some things. I know like Blake Lively was one of them, but for example, she's like, oh my god, sorry guys, I know you haven't seen me in a while. And then she like badly Photoshopped her fingers on a drink ad that she was doing. She posted on her Instagram. She apologized later on. So anyway, all of that stuff was happening. So finally, I guess it got to a point where we were just like so outrageous. I mean, it was so big that she went ahead, and I think it was either earlier this week or I think it was earlier this week actually, where she actually had like a special like release, like, and she went on by herself and she explained what was going on. She had stomach surgery back in December or January, at which point they discovered that she had cancer. Mm-hmm. And so she has been undergoing cancer treatment, which is why she's, you know, taking the time to be with her family, to be with her kids, to be with, you know, her hubby or whatever. And that's what's been happening. But the fact that she, you know, poor lady had to leave and like make her own, like to make that statement was wild. But anyway, that's what's been happening.
imagine you get all of this. Because the thing is, like, ever since that documentary with Prince Harry and what's her name?
Megan.
And Megan came out about how intense like the media is. I feel like it really did make my feelers go up to like where there is always a lot of media with the royal family. And the idea of all this conversation over like Photoshop fingers to me is just, it's wild. The distraction, the thing is though, seriously, I gotta send my prayers first to her because cancer is tough for sure. Mm. Sending prayers to her and her family. The idea of her husband cheating, one, is expected because he's the prince, right? I feel like that's part of like royal tradition is to cheat, right?
I feel like that's part of their tradition because like you saw what his dad did and like with Princess Diana. People were saying that, you know, oh my God, I hate that the first anecdote, like the first example that I have is always like from Marvel, and I'm so sorry. But I haven't even been watching Marvel lately. But anyway, in Thor Ragnarok, there was this scene where, like in the very beginning, actually, where the father was, he like his life force was what was keeping Hela, their sister, who's like stupidly evil. Mm-hmm. He was like his life force, what was keeping her at bay, was keeping her in like imprisoned. And so the moment that he ended up dying, it on like the nothing could hold her back. And right. So she came back with a vengeance, right? And then started like wrecking havoc. People are saying and speculating that the queen, may she rest in peace, the queen's life for like being alive, what was keeping all of the karma for the British families, like from the beginning of time, like all of their wrongdoings, especially the specific lineage,
for real,
was keeping their wrongdoings at bay, was keeping them from having karma come and bite them in the butt. Mm-hmm. And now that she's no longer alive to fend those things off, all of a sudden, like, all this stuff is like resurfacing. Mm-hmm. And they're saying like Princess Diana is coming from depths of like wherever she's at and saying like, my turn, crack's neck, start to wreak havoc, you know? And you know, we love a good revenge story, you know?
A good revenge story is hilarious. But I feel like, her story and the things they make up, I feel like her story right now, I feel like she was forced to tell the public of her cancer.
100%.
Like you, all
it's
of
absurd.
A sudden, right. But the thing is, like, y'all wasn't given a care before, but all of a sudden you guys care when there's so many things that are erupting, right? There's so many things that are erupting and they need to make major decisions on between like overseas decisions with Ukraine and Russia and what's going on in Palestine and what's going on in Congo, what's going on in Haiti. And then for us within the States with our elections coming up and with global warming and all the things that are now on the Congress desk that they're not fucking signing. Excuse me. They ain't signing nothing, man. They not doing nothing right. They rather make adultery no longer illegal in some states, then look at the unemployment within our states. They rather outlaw homeless people sleeping outdoors in public spaces than look at what's going on with our inflation. They'd rather look at all these other things that are so unimportant versus focus. And the best way for them to distract us from actually focusing on the things that we want is to highlight things that make no sense. Like this princess and the things that she's going through is a big thing. However, for all this attention, and then the Photoshop thing was unnecessary. And look,
I hear you and I agree with you. And I think like distraction is like the biggest form of like diversion from the cruelty and all of these absolute awfulness that's happening. Mm-hmm. I do have to say specifically with this particular crisis with like Kategate was...
You said Kategate? Like,
I think, yeah. I think honestly it stemmed from the public. I think it really stemmed from the public and it got really big. And I think that the media outlets tried to cover some things up, but then ended up like making it much worse. Like I don't care about that family. Like I genuinely don't. But then if somebody's gonna be like, yo, where has she been since like twin, where have you been? For a minute, oh my God, that song has us like by
in a chokehold
TikTok. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I feel like in the moment that one person raises that question, and maybe it was a plant, right? Maybe it came from like a, mm-hmm. like a somebody up like high up in the ranks of what's happening in the world or whatever, or government or whatnot, and kind of like planted that seed and just like left and waited for it to catch fire and sprout and then catch fire. Mm-hmm. I think that, but it really essentially stemmed from the public, right? Right. Somebody came and was like, yo, where has she been? And then next thing you know, people were like, you know what? Good point. Yeah. Even I, at some point, I was like, interesting. I guess she hasn't been around. And then that turned into more people asking questions, and then people taking to, and you know, we have social media,
yeah,
and like just set on fire, and it's immediate, right? It's like wildfire essentially. And so it just kind of spread and it could no longer be contained. Right. And then they tried to contain it, and then they were like, nope, you can't fool us anymore. Hence why they want to like ban certain, you know, social media platforms now, because the ability for us to just like Google is not even the number one
searching
way, like search for information. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it a search engine, because like TikTok is not a search engine. It's like, it's a really, like, it's a social media platform, source, yeah. But it provides so much education that like people are not, and I caught myself doing it too, like looking for like vacation, you know, ideas or whatever. Boom.
TikTok.
And so it's, you can't expect to contain something that people are just really behind. And I honestly feel like that distraction that you just spoke of, it is, do you think some of it is from like, is our own doing in terms of like,
we are
so overwhelmed and we need some sort of release. Mm. And so we kind of like, let's laugh about this, because otherwise we're just going to keep crying forever. What do you think?
No, I think we've been groomed this way, because regardless of how hectic or how stressful like your life is, you do look for like a source of like relief. Like you're going to look up a TV show, you're going to look up a song, you're going to look up something. Mm-hmm. However, the idea of like what we consume, it being so controlled and manipulated, and we're groomed to see certain things and we're groomed to accept it the way it is. And I feel like we have become this because they've made us this way, not so much because we're looking for an outlet, but that's what we're now feeling is the outlet. However, everything can't be that. Like, we can't just be doing fun stuff all the time. Like, we have to discuss serious things, especially how they're like directly impacting us. So I just feel like it's just something that's been, we were groomed to be. Oh, you want to hear a fun fact?
Tell me.
You ever hear how like people were like, oh, like the weather is controlled by a weather machine, right? You ever hear that? So like there's been plenty of movies that says that we have a weather machine or whatever. At this point in time, I believe that there's a weather machine, but not in a like in a literal way, but in the sense of over time, how like we've been impacting like the world in major ways, how we're like killing the earth, and by us killing the earth, like we're causing like all these different changes to happen that would normally happen. And instead of us saying, you know, there's global warming is attached to a lot of different things, like us getting sick all of a sudden, all this new bacteria, the way our skin feels, we're all this shit, right? All these things. So like people are not realizing how we're impacting the weather. So you're in a state of the Lulu thinking that you can get all these Amazon packages, and you thinking that it's not going to affect the weather? We are the ones turning the knobs on the weather machine, right? We're the ones that's really making the weather what we want it to be. We're the reason why all these things are happening. So I had this like aha moment when we were talking about globalization earlier. And I was like, literally, like we are the ones that's turning the knobs. Next thing you know, Matrix is going to come out and be like, everything you thought about, and you just was like, I'm not gonna think about it, Delulu. You gotta then take that thing back and put it in the front of your head and be like, I knew I had the answer. No, but yeah, I just thought about
this. No, those are some bars, Anne. Like, oh, you dropped knowledge. No, but honestly, if you think about it, like the way that you're able to speak to that and like in such an illustrative way, but like figuratively speaking, that is exactly what we've been doing. I mean, I deleted the Amazon app off my phone recently because I felt that I was like, I'm part of the problem. Like we're like cogs in the machine, and we're headed full speed towards our own destruction, and we're like, no more. But then we're also kind of like pressing on the gas right. at the same time, yeah. and doing it like subconsciously, and it's so engulfing. Even as we talk about the wealth disparity, right? I mean, I was looking at, speaking of Amazon, for example, I was looking at the net worth and how it has doubled yes. over the last year for like trillions of dollars. Like, and I'm talking about the trillions have mm-hmm. doubled. I'm not saying the billions and then turns to trillion. I'm talking right. about trillions have doubled.
Not him being worth $199 billion, Jeff Bezos.
He's worth, yeah. He's and Amazon itself is worth, I forgot how many trillions.
Oh, Amazon.
No, it's trillions. They're in the trillions.
Yeah, they're in trillions.
Trillions. Mm-hmm. And they were able to double that. They had a dip as expected in 2021, and then it just skyrocketed. And I'm like, we're complaining about, you know, monopolizing cultures and like colonial capitalism. But I am very much like very involved in that. Mm-hmm. And that's just all not healthy. And so when you pictured it that way, because people were like, oh, it's like we control the weather. But aren't movies specifically designed for that, though? Like, they provide you with these literal, tangible examples of how planets and societies can be destroyed. And then, but they have this subliminal message underneath, right underneath, that sometimes can go right over our heads. Because if you think about it, you're looking at the movie, you're like, okay, well, we don't have one of those, but we are yeah. the machine.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was beautiful. And at this point, I know it sounds, again, it's not self-preservation at all. It's the opposite of that. I'm like, take me out.
No, nah, don't
take me out in the first wave. I do have a question for you though, right?
Bro,
sort of like world-ending apocalypse. Let's say zombies. Are you going to fight
a zombie?
Zombie apocalypse. Or like some sort of like widespread virus.
Hell nah. I'm gonna
take you out in the first wave, right?
Nah, I'm more like a prepper. Like, if I see homies turning into Johnson & Johnson zombie, let me tell you, bro. So when it was time
Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson & Johnson. When it came time to get those COVID vaccines, I was like, no, my son, my mother, all of us, we need to have the same vaccine. Cause whatever the zombies that we turn into, we have to be able to coexist. Cause my brother got a Johnson & Johnson vaccine. He can't stay with us. I'm so sorry. You cannot bunk with us. You cannot.
I turned into a vaccine snob, and I was one for a very long time.
You didn't use Pfizer
or bust.
Period. Because meanwhile, people are just getting the vaccine so they could go back into the capitalistic lifestyle of going to work. Meanwhile, we're like, oh, you didn't get Pfizer? Like,
what do you mean, Moderna? What is that? I don't know her. We don't know her.
Let me tell you how they ran out of Pfizer, and they're like, oh, we have Moderna. I was like, I'll
come pass.
Let me know when you get the Pfizer, doc.
Okay, let's get to know that we can room together.
Period. If you have the same vaccine, you can stay. Anywho, when it comes to the zombie stuff, I would become a prepper. As soon as I hear whatever, as soon as I hear the growling, I'm gonna load it up.
I'm sorry, yeah, what would you hear?
The
I wanna make this a sound.
The Johnson and Johnson growl.
Oh, so funny.
The Johnson and Johnson growl.
The Johnson and Johnson growl.
As soon as I hear that, no, babes. Mm-hmm. I am gonna be prepared. Like, I'll fight if I have to, but I cannot let a zombie take me out. My pride is too, I'm too prideful. My ego is too big.
So who's gonna take you out?
Oh, what do you mean?
What do you mean you cannot let a zombie? I mean, I feel like we've watched a lot of like The Walking Dead and, you know, World War Z to think that we have a chance at fighting those things off and actually survive.
I'm surviving. I'm a, like Beyonce said, or Destiny's Child, I'm a survivor.
You gonna make it?
I'm gonna make it. I'm a survivor. Keep on surviving. Period. Ain't nobody about to bite my neck, take a chunk out of my liver. No, thank you. I'm good. I'm good on that. I will eat every last canned bean on earth. before I let you take a bite out of me. I do not taste good. Please.
No, take a bite. Go for it, man. I'm not trying to survive a zombie apocalypse. For what?
I will use me as a tribute. What do they say?
I volunteer as tribute. Oh my god. I'm not trying to survive all that. I mean, have you seen the state of the world right now?
For real. The zombies will take you out, those polar ice caps will, because them things is melting, babes. If you don't know how to swim, you better learn.
I remember this vine where this mother took her daughter to the beach, and I don't know why it had me dying, but she was like, "Happy birthday, Nevaeh!" And then, like, pan to the girl, I was like, "I can't swim!" And the absolute terror in her on her face. And I don't know why you brought me out here, knowing full well I will not make it if you get me in that water.
That you told me. Poor Nevaeh.
There's going to be us in front of those melting ice. I can't swim. Shout out to the Navy for forcing me to.
Yo.
I might make it a couple miles now.
Let me tell you.
I
have to explain my swimming to people.
If you have to explain it, is it swimming?
No, it's not. But I can survive. Yo, let me tell you. I we had to do the swimming test or whatever. Jump into this 14-foot pool with, mm-hmm, like, a gun over your head. Swim.
Yep.
Swimming and my soundproof. You know, listen, I think people have now realized I am the clumsy one. My mic falls, my soundproofing falls, like, my shit will disconnect. Like, it's tragic. Oh,
you're completely fine. I mean, I'm holding my cup on my left ear right now because I broke it trying to take all of my stuff with me. I feel like I need to have an equipment bag. So
yeah, I have two bags. Yeah. I have to make it into one bag with, like, a roll with wheels. Anyway, mm-hmm, so my swimming. So you get tossed in, you're in 14 feet of water in the pool, right? And you, mm-hmm, have to pass this test. There's multiple variations. Swimming with just, like, bare shorts and shit, swimming, mm-hmm, with your full uniform, swimming with, mm-hmm, like, a helmet and your weapon, right? Mm-hmm. So they're like, "Can you swim, Private?" And I was like, "No, Drill Sergeant, I cannot."
See, what had happened was they told me Army was on land.
Facts. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, I did not join the Navy because I know they had to swim. But you asking me to swim right now is you're asking for too much. But no, but you're required to swim or you won't pass that phase. Like, you will stay, mm-hmm, in that pool for the next 10 weeks if you have to. So
believe me, I know. Oh, I was trekking 4 miles back and forth for weeks. And I remember weeks.
You were practicing.
It was awful. Please teach your kids how to swim. Like, honestly, truly, teach them how to swim. Teach them how to swim from a very young age. It is a survival thing, too. Like, you can help people. Yeah. We can drown in, like, 2 inches of water. And it's important. Like, and I've seen a lot of parents be very proactive. Like, they have, like, month-old babies in the pool, mm, learning to, like, float and not drown, all of that, mm-hmm, stuff in case they fall in. I think it's absolutely crucial. I think culturally, we're shifting the tide as well. One, as, like, a Black, you know, a Black community. Two, as a Haitian community.
We need to know how to swim.
We need to do that.
I feel like Haitians can swim, though. It. Haitians can swim. I think Haitian Americans probably can't swim, but I know a lot of Haitians that could swim. But
I was there for the first 16 and a half years.
You were there much longer than me. I was only there for
I was. And let me tell you.
5 years.
I did not know not one person who's just like, "You know what I'm going to do this weekend?" Actually, I did know one person, but because they talked about it. But they didn't even learn how to swim in Haiti. They learned how to swim here.
Yo, you know what's
so
funny?
I don't know.
I feel like my brother was thrown in. Both of my brothers were thrown in. And that's how they learned how to swim when we were really young. Just like, boop, thrown in by my uncle. And, mm-hmm, and then for me, I learned how to swim when I joined the Army. And you have to take the test. You have to graduate from guppy to being able to, like, fucking save yourself. You need to save yourself. Like, mm-hmm. So the way that I explain to people is I can save myself fully dressed if I'm in the pool fully dressed, I will not drown because I know the tactics of how to get out. If I'm slick, if I panic, I'm going to drown. If I'm calm, I'll be fine. I almost drowned in an 8-foot pool because my son was like, "Mom, if you let go of all the air, you'll be able to sit at the bottom of the pool." And he's a strong swimmer. He's done a triathlon and everything. Very, very strong swimmer. I was like, "I damn shit. We're on vacation. Let's do it." This child goes to the bottom of the pool, does his thing, swims out.
He's an excellent swimmer, by the way.
Amazing.
A fish.
Periods from side to side, it won't come up for air. I go down. The ladder stops 2 feet above where the bottom of the pool is. So there's 2 feet of me not being able to do anything.
Anchor, nada.
Nothing. And I'm away from the ladder because I'm like, if I go into the pool and I go down because I'm too confident in my swimming abilities, I thought I could just get out. Oh my God. So I sunk and I was trying to get back up and I wasn't getting up and I started to panic. But then once I relaxed.
It's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once I relaxed and I remembered simple basic things, I swam out, and my son had the audacity, and I was like, I told him, like, you didn't see me, why didn't you throw anything in for me? He's like, "Oh, you were drowning, is that what that was?" I was just like,
I thought you were just very excited, so much so that you were just
flapping,
flapping through the water, just enjoying and having a good old time. He didn't even realize that you were drowning.
No, bro, he popped out of the pool, wrapped himself in his towel and went to go lounge on the pool chairs. And the pool chairs are
My mama is like, "Straight up drown. I'm so sorry."
He probably just looked at me and was like, "All right, mom,
but she's like, you're the parent." You know what I'm saying? I feel like they kind of expect, until they're older, they don't realize that you're not an expert at everything.
I know
that you
just
do have
enough.
Your limitations. Just enough.
And I'm scared. I think it's because I've almost drowned so many times.
Damn, man. Don't be like Nevaeh.
Happy birthday, Nevaeh.
And that can't swim.
You want to hear something good?
Tell me.
Did you like my distraction?
We distracted ourselves right from all of the topics of conversation. And we ran out of time.
Period. I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. It's been light. Yeah. It's been airy. We did want to quickly just send our prayers out to anyone that was affected with the bridge collapsing in Baltimore. My goodness. That key bridge within the cargo bridge, or excuse me, the cargo ship and the bridge and everything that's going on to those families. We did want to just send out our prayers to them. Because that was really unbelievable.
It was absolutely awful. I mean, it happened. It's like, what, an hour from me? But we checked on our family because we have family in Maryland to make sure like nobody was in that bridge at 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
But, you know, it's such a, I do have to commend like the rapid response and a rapid effort because they did sound the Mayday like alarm
immediately.
And it allowed for like responders to just kind of stop traffic as quickly as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart really goes out to those 6 that are presumed dead at this point because search and rescue efforts stopped and they were not recovered. So yeah, absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
But yes,
That's tough. Along with that, there's a lot of different things happening globally, and we won't touch on everything, but we wanted to just make sure that everyone knew that we were thinking about them and you're in our prayers. If you guys enjoy this conversation, make sure that you like it, you share it, you comment, you subscribe on our YouTube, you join our fam on our different platforms. We're on a few different social media platforms. We're on Instagram, we're on X, we're on TikTok. If you want to find all of it, we have our Linktree available absolutely everywhere if you look it up, to be honest, Linktree Melanie Movement. However, if you're on Instagram, you can go to our Instagram and click the Linktree. Everything is listed on there, our YouTube and a different platform that you can find not only this episode, but all the other episodes that we've made public.
That's right. Yeah, I do want, because I know.
That's right. Okay.
We're tired. Can you tell? We're just like, well, anyway, I did want not to finish in a somber note or anything like that, but my heart has been really breaking seeing the lack of, well, first of all, seeing like the absolute unspeakable violence that is happening in our home country,
yes.
Haiti. It really is it's absolutely awful. And I just wanted to kind of share in this moment of sorrow with all of our, you know, fellow Haitians. Wanted to really show our solidarity and support and understanding that this is not something that we're just ignoring. It is awful. It's very difficult because I still do want to go home again soon. Like I want to show my partner where I grew up and I all that stuff. And it's just something that just felt, it just feels more and more like it just feels further and further away, from happening. And then the last also piece is that the United Nations withdrawing aid to Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And with this like absolute genocide and humanitarian crisis that's going on there. So a lot of, again, our fellow brothers and sisters are starving, do not have any aid. And there's a lot happening. So again, just our thoughts, our prayers, our fight, they're all with the countries and the regions and the places that we just mentioned. Mm-hmm.
And the ones we didn't mention as well.
Yeah.
There's so much
Congo.
Going
on. Yeah. There's a lot going
there's
on
so
everywhere.
Much going on in Ukraine. So, geez, we always think it's important to just highlight these things because there are things that constantly run through our minds. And like we've talked about during this episode, distraction is part of us existing and coping with the things that are happening around us. But definitely take a break from your Delulu once in a while to just, I guess, catch up.
Yeah. We need to survive. Excuse me. And I think biologically, our brains cannot sustain chronic level of stress and raise cortisol levels and adrenaline. And so it will do whatever it can to adapt itself to situation and will take, I mean, that's why Stockholm syndrome is a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like kidnapping, like I'm just giving an example here. And so I do know and understand, and I want everyone to know and understand the importance of like taking a step back and mm-hmm. practicing, you know, self-care, but also community care and finding joy in the things that you enjoy, like that you maybe find peace in. For me, like puzzling has been really good. And like, of course, like listening to audiobooks and reading
and podcasts.
Chatting with you and podcasting. I was like, what's coming up, girl? You know? And like all of those things, right? Are just like, they're ways for us not only like to connect back to ourselves, but connect to each other as well. And really just lean on our communities and on our collective. So that is important. However, you can only stay in Delulu for so long because at the end of the day, if you're not listening, if you're not informing yourself, if you're not having these difficult conversations, you're a little complicit in what's happening. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, it's just a thought here.
Just a thought.
Don't be complicit.
Okay, cool. Anywho, we do appreciate you guys going on this journey with us. I hope you had a good time. I hope you joined the conversation while you were in your car or at work or wherever you are.
Yes.
Again, definitely let us know what you think on all of our platforms, linktree.com/melanated movement. Again, this has been
the Melanated Movement Podcast
with
Tess and Aaron. Until next time.